Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said self-made men should be more careful in selecting the material they use. We appreciate the opportunity of Bible study today. We're glad you have taken the time to think about the Word of God and to listen to Bible meditations. Well, let's return to our study, and we were looking at the last words of Jesus. No, we're not talking about the last words Jesus uttered as he was hanged upon a cross and died for the sins of mankind. We're rather looking at the last words that he inspired men to record and that are found in the last book in the Bible. The Bible is composed of 66 different books. It comes to a conclusion with the book of Revelation, which was written approximately 96 A.D. Now, when we come to that book and come to the end of it, we're looking at the last words of Jesus and the words that will be present in judgment to judge all of us. Revelation chapter 12 and verse, 20 and verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by the things that were written in the books. So the last words we're talking about are the words recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. I hear frequently people talking about God speaking to them and telling them what to do and what not to do. I notice that these same people at times make mistakes. If God were directing their every motion of life, that wouldn't occur, but nonetheless, they claim God speaks to them in a small, still voice and tells them what they need to know. Well, why would God pick them out and speak to them without doing that to other people? Why would God think that they deserve a special revelation when he's given unto us a book that gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. The point is that God does not give to men another revelation, and anything in addition to what's already in the Bible is contrary to the will of God. Do you remember in the Galatian letter chapter 1, Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That's a very serious statement, isn't it? The curse of heaven is on any man who preaches another gospel. The gospel has been revealed to mankind. And if any man adds to or takes away from or just simply perverts the gospel, he has the anathema of heaven pronounced upon him. That just means that you and I should be satisfied with the revelation that came from God. God has said everything we need to know with life and godliness, and anything in addition to that would be superfluous. We don't need it. And God, of course, has not given authority for us to accept that. When we come to the last book of Revelation, and we look at the words that are recorded in chapter 22, we're looking at the last words of Jesus. Now let's look at some of the things that are proclaimed by those last words that Jesus said. First of all, there are four things we'd like to point out to you. In the closing of the book of Revelation, Jesus proclaimed his divinity. Secondarily, he declared his authority. Then thirdly, he affirmed his return. And then finally, he extended his invitation to the human family. Now let's go back and look at these words that are recorded in Revelation chapter 22 and see the lessons that are contained. First of all, the Lord proclaimed his divinity. Verses 13 and 16 are the verses primarily that I have in mind. Look at verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now drop down to verse 16. And I, Jesus, have sent mine enemy to testify unto you those things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. In other words, the Lord is just simply saying, I am divine. Now the Lord proclaimed that to his disciples during his lifetime. He reminded them many times that if they had seen him, they had seen the Father. In the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus said, Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And you remember the question was asked by one of the disciples when they were asking, Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus just said, Have I been so long with you and you've not seen him? The point is, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I and my Father are one. Jesus is not a creation of God. Jesus is indeed divine. There's a religious group in our world today that teaches that Jesus is the first creation of God. And of course, in so doing, they're denying his divinity. However, Jesus was present in the beginning, before the world began. If you look at the book of Genesis, chapter 1, God said, Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. The term us is plural. It's not just God the Father, but let us make man. Now, if you want to know just who he was talking about, you turn to the Colossian letter, chapter 1, and look in verse 16, and the record says that he was the means by which God created all things. All things were created by him and for him, and without him was nothing created. And so Jesus was present at the creation, in the very beginning. And he had the same kind of existence that God did. In the beginning, God, plural, created the heaven and the earth. That is, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all were present in the beginning. So the Lord proclaimed his divinity. Now, there are a lot of things about that we need to remember. One is that he gave up his place in heaven, his equality with God, and came to the earth to die for mankind. Now, he didn't give up his divinity. He was still divine, but he was born of a virgin, Isaiah 7 and verse 14. He came into the world to provide a way of redemption for mankind. And so he became the Son of God, that is, he became the one who was born through Mary, and he came into the world to bring redemption to the human family. So Jesus said, I'm the beginning, I'm the end. All things that are created were created by him, and it is not the idea that he was a part of that creation. No, he was the creator. So I'm simply saying to you that he proclaimed that he has always been. He said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. Well, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, talking about the resurrection of Jesus, Paul makes this observation. He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection. He's the Son of God. He's divinity. and his resurrection was evidence of that. So the last words of Jesus proclaim to us that Jesus is divine. We appreciate being with you today, invite you to listen again tomorrow, and remember it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.